Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
If you will take your New Testament and actually go right past where Gary was reading, I thought we were going to go over the same topic tonight. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As Paul writes to those in Thessalonica, a city that he was in Acts chapter 17, and then would pass through that city or that region on subsequent missionary journeys, Paul got to know these brethren. They're not as commendable as those in Berea, though. We learn that in Acts 17. The Bereans search the Scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul had said were true. Now, what I find interesting is one of the concerns when Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica in the first epistle is what happens since Jesus hasn't come back. They were concerned about those who had died in the faith, but Jesus hadn't come back. And that's why we have that beautiful passage beginning in verse 13 of chapter 4 and really continues that thought into chapter 5. But of the time and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. So they knew about normal time and season of life. They needed a little clarification on the return of the Lord. And from that point through the rest of the book, Paul has simple statements, if you will, on what to do as a Christian. For instance, in verse number 13, esteem very highly those in love that are laboring. Be at peace among yourselves. He says, exhort the brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. Those are just short, simple statements that can change our lives. See that none render evil to evil. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. Then what I want us to key into in our time before us. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. That phrase, hold fast, I want you to key into that, if you will. Doing a search this afternoon, 18 times in Scripture, the phrase hold fast, holdeth fast, something along those variations appears in the King James translation, 6 in the old, the remainder 12 in the new. To define means to remain tightly secured. But in Greek it's the word epeko, which is a compound word for upon and to hold. So literally, hold fast in Greek means to hold upon securely, grasping it, not letting anything go. Now notice here, Paul says, hold fast to what? That which is good. You find something good and you get a good grasp of it and you don't let it go. What I want us to do is from this verse going forward, I want us to look at five other times from Timothy onward that the phrase hold fast appears in Scripture. Go with me, number one, to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. As Paul writes his second epistle to what's been called his son in the faith, Timothy, Paul is in Roman prison. Paul has a good inclination. He's probably never going to see Timothy again. And so we often view this letter as the last words of Paul, and they really hit differently than some of his other epistles, just the mindset that Paul was in. Once you notice here, verse 13, he says, hold fast, tightly, securely, the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So first off, what are we to hold fast? The form of sound words. We are to find God's Word. God's Word is sound, right? We are to find God's Word and to hold it tightly, hold it securely. You look out in the world and you can see a whole lot of people who don't have a good grasp on God's Word. Yeah, they may own a Bible, they may have carried it places, they may have read John 3:16 and other passages, but they don't have a good grasp on it. He says, hold fast the form of sound doctrine. But as a bonus for being here, that last phrase, he says, which is in Christ Jesus. In Christ appears seven times in this one epistle alone. Paul highlighting to Timothy, no doubt, the benefits of being a Christian, for that's the only place to be in Christ. So he says, you hold fast those sound words in Christ. Number two, flip over to the book of Titus, if you will. Another running mate of Paul. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 9. It's almost like he moved on. Paul had John Mark, and then he had Timothy, and then he went on to Titus, kind of who he was working with. Notice here Titus 1 and 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So what am I to hold fast to, Paul? The faithful word. See, once I get a good grasp on God's word, what can I do? Well, first off, I have to be taught God's word. And as I'm taught it, I latch on to it. And then by sound doctrine, notice that, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. I'm not to go up to somebody who's teaching wrong and just shake my finger in their face and say, no, 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 I know right and you wrong. I need to go prove to them with sound doctrine, which means I've got to know what the doctrine is. I've got to study God's word. And then holding fast to that, I can prove those who are doing wrong. Let's go to the Hebrew epistle, if you will. Two of them there. The first one, number 3, is in the 3rd chapter. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 6. Hebrews 3 and 6. If anybody ever asks you what's the best commentary one can buy on the Old Testament, I'll tell you it's the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews sheds light on why they did things in the Old Testament, at the same time showing how Christ is better in the New Testament. And we're speaking of Christ in verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So what am I supposed to hold fast? The confidence and also hope. But notice, if is conditional. I don't have confidence. I don't have hope unless I hold fast God's word. But by holding it fast, by applying it to my life, making sure I have a tight grip on it, then I receive the rejoicing of God. I have confidence, and I have that blessed hope. Let's look at number 4 in the 4th chapter and the 14th verse of Hebrews as we look at the phrase holding fast. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. It's in the 3rd chapter, which will show back up in the 7th chapter, the Hebrew writer is explaining how Christ is a better high priest than the Old Testament could ever have had. And since he is our high priest, we can approach him with the cares and the daily goings on in our life. And so he says, we have a great high priest, let us hold fast our profession. Not waver being a Christian, but hold on to it. And then we can approach him, verse 16. Why? Verse 15, because he knows. He walked this earth, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly before him. But I must hold fast my profession. Let's look at the last time it appears in Scripture, and also the last on our list, in the book of Revelation, if you will. Revelation, the 3rd chapter, and the 11th verse. As Paul writes in exile on the Isle of Patmos, he begins the Revelation letter to 7 churches in Asia Minor, what we would call modern-day Turkey. And as he is writing, 2 are good, 5 are bad. Now the 5 that are bad were bad to varying degrees, some wicked and some just moderately bad, kind of like some of the kings in the Old Testament. Some were more wicked than others. But we see that he is talking to the church at Philadelphia, which was your second good one. Smyrna was the first one, then Philadelphia. Notice here in verse 11, he says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man may take thy crown. He says, I'm going to return. So what do I need to hold fast? That which I have. What do I have? Well, evidently, someone is going to take their crown away. What's that crown? Eternal life. We know that from chapter 2 and verse 10. That's when we receive that crown. We don't receive an inheritance on this earth, but the faithful Christian receives it when he or she dies faithful in the Lord. Also Matthew 10:22. So he says, you better be ready, verse 11, because I'm going to come back. Oh, wait, we already read that. 1 Thessalonians 4, did we not? Right before where we started. He says, I'm coming back, so take hold fast upon what you have, that crown of life. Dear friends, as a Christian, take encouragement in this. Hold on to that crown of life and don't let it go. Satan's going to try to rip it out of your hand. The cares of the world are going to try to rip that crown of life out of your hand, but be faithful unto death. That's when you receive that crown of life, dear friends. Holding fast, or hold fast. Two words, eight simple letters. We hold fast that form of sound words, faithful words, confidence and hope, our profession, winding up and holding fast our crown. What are you holding on to tonight? Are you holding on to the Lord's teachings, or are you just holding on to whatever the world's going to throw in your hands? See, that's why you got to have a firm, secure grip, because the world's going to try to put things in your hand that you're holding on to. You've got to hold on to God, hold on to His teaching. If you're not a Christian, you're not holding on to Him. But He'd love for you to hold His hand the whole way. Hold God's unchanging hand, we often sing. Why not become a Christian tonight? Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Go down that water, come out a new Christian, alive in Christ. If you're not a Christian, why not be one? If you are a Christian, remain faithful to the very end. That's when you get that crown of life. But if you're not faithful, you need to repent of those sins that are keeping you from God.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman, dear friends, and glad to have you along with us here as we continue our time allotted before us on reading the Word. Hope you've enjoyed our study of holding fast, and if you want to study that again, you can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. From there, you can find all of them. This was 142 program number. So there's 141 before it and some after it, Lord willing, as well. So you can find those, or you can write to me. You can either send it care of Arlington Church of Christ or P.O. Box 292, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. Since the show is called Reading the Word, I thought we would just read some of God's Word. And I want to read from the book of Psalms, Psalm number 90, which is interesting. It's ascribed to Moses. We know he wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He also wrote the 90th Psalm. Some familiar passages in this I want us to read together. It says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sheep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins, and the light to Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away within Thy wrath. We spend our years as the tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow. It is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thine anger? Even according to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent Thee concerning Thy servants. O satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, and Thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord be our God be upon us. And establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish Thou it. Psalm 90. Dear friends, we've had a wonderful time here on Reading the Word. I hope you can join us again next time for our new study. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.